I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday in our church calendar was the feast day of St. Paul. Paul actually gets 2 days in the course of the year. He's extra special that way. He gets one when he becomes a Christian, his conversion, and then one when he dies, when he's martyred. Yesterday was the feast of his conversion to Christianity. So if you don't mind, since Paul is our patronal saint, I'm going to go rogue, and I'm going to take a little bit of preacherly freedom to talk about yesterday's scripture lessons along with today's. So let's flip over to Acts. The story of Paul's conversion happens in the book of Acts. And you'll remember that this event occurred while he was still named Saul. Saul was not a nice guy. The very first verse of chapter 9 in the book of Acts says that he was, quote, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. So, not a very nice guy. He was on the road to Damascus on his way to persecute and to kill Christians, and suddenly he's struck by a blinding light. He falls to the ground and he hears a voice that says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul is struck blind. But in that moment, he's also given an invitation. If he leaves behind this old life of murder and threats and killing Christians and embraces Jesus Christ, he will not only have his vision restored, but he will serve as God's own instrument. He'll preach the good news to all the people of Israel. God is offering for Saul to become Paul, the man that once killed and persecuted Christians, and can now become the man who will preach and build up the church and bring the light of Christ to the whole world. In Epiphany, we talk a lot about light. It all starts with the star, right? The wise men following the star that led them to Jesus. Next week, you'll hear a lesson about Jesus himself being called the light. Simeon picks him up as a child in the temple and says, this is the light to enlighten all the nations. And here at St. Paul's, we have an extra special Feast of Lights, the beginning of the season when we celebrate our call to be the lights of Christ ourselves. This is a season of celebrating light. And we sing songs about how we want to be a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. And I think in all of these different examples, there's a sense that the light of Christ is nothing but beautiful and soft and welcoming. But if you read the story in Acts, that is not always the case. Light is not soft. Light is not welcoming. Light is blinding. It is powerful, uncomfortable, painful. Light stops you in your tracks. I mean, just look at our St. Paul statue right here. That is the face of a man who has just been blinded by the light. His whole life has just been interrupted. This is the face of someone being blinded by the power of the Almighty God. Light doesn't just illuminate, light invades. And I think there are a lot of examples that we can connect to when it comes to light experiences like this. You know, just think about driving right now in the winter time when all the leaves are off the trees and you have that winter sun blinding you, giving you a headache, making you squint. Light also has a sense of revealing what doesn't want to be revealed. Think about the last time you're at the doctor or at the dentist and they shine that bright light right into your mouth. They're looking in a place where light doesn't usually shine. And who knows? You may have something stuck back there. You may have bad breath. You may have a cavity. You feel really exposed when that light shines on you. Light can also be blinding. And the best example, I think, that we've all had this experience, maybe when you're a child, sometimes definitely when you're an adult, when you are fast asleep in bed, you're all warm and cozy and don't want to move, and someone comes in the room and they say, get up, rise and shine, it's time to start the day. And then what do? They turn on the light. Is there anything worse than that pain of that light interrupting your sleep, coming in and waking you up, bursting you out of your bed, making you start the day? I think if we're truly honest with ourselves, we probably would all prefer to stay in the dark. And I don't mean just when we want to sleep in, but when we're confronted with feeling exposed emotionally. We like our darknesses. We create spaces to protect the things that we don't want the world to see. We cling to these places because we think that if we're not exposed, we can hide and feel safe. And we've all got them. We've all got pieces of ourselves that we would rather the world didn't see, qualities that are not so flattering. It doesn't have to be anything huge, but, you know, things you'd rather the world not see. Maybe you've been accused of being a little aggressive, a little bit blunt sometimes. Maybe you are slow to forgive, suspicious of other people. Or maybe you are overly dependent on the opinions of other people. You're worried that others won't like you or that you'll be left out in some way. Or maybe, this is where it hits home with me, maybe you're aware you're a little bit judgmental sometimes, feeling a little critical. You don't want the world to think of you as mean-spirited and harsh. These parts of your character just aren't a flattering view. It's not what you want to show the world, and it's not what you want God to see about you. There is a lie out there in popular culture that you have to be perfect in order to follow Jesus. And my friends, it is just not true. There is a lie that says that you have to get your life together, you have to follow the rules, you have to be nicer, more holy, more good, and then you can call yourself a Christian. Then you can follow Jesus. This is a fantastic, gross lie that pervades our culture. It makes us compare ourselves one against another, especially when we come to church. We start believing that everyone around us has it all together, and so we have to look like we have it all together. This lie makes us believe that the journey with Jesus is sort of like belonging to a club. And we come and we are a part of a club that's full of like-minded people, just like us, that are sort of self-satisfied. We have it all together, all when we are in this place. It's so not true. When in fact, the journey to which Jesus calls us is one about being seen, of having that bright light shined on both your blessedness and on your brokenness. The journey of discipleship is one of stepping into the light. And all of you stepping into the light, every part of yourself. What Jesus wants most is to be able to live in the world through your particular life. So whatever you have been through, whatever scars you carry, whatever sins you have, whatever limitations you have, all those things, Jesus wants to live in the world through you. All the things that you want to shove aside and put in the dark and pretend like aren't there, God wants to use to show his grace to the rest of the world. And we know this to be true because that's what happened with Paul. The same zeal that Paul once tried to, you know, use to exterminate Christians, God used that zeal to build up the church. And it's true also with the disciples we hear about in today's gospel lesson. With James and John, these fishermen who were called by Jesus, God saw that they had these eyes that could spot a fish in the water. And he knew that those same eyes would be able to spot people who were hungry, people who were hurting, people who needed Jesus. God wanted to use those qualities of these disciples in ministry in the world. And the same is true for you. So, if what God wants is to shine the light on what we don't want seen, and all we want to do is to throw the covers over our heads and hide in the dark, I wonder, what would it look like to embrace the light? What would it be to embrace being stopped in our tracks, having our lives interrupted, to embrace the painful process of change? So there's an image in your bulletin today about this very thing. It's a picture of the conversion of St. Paul. It's on page 5 of your bulletin. So this is a painting that was done by the Italian artist Caravaggio in the 17th century. And if you'll look at it with me, there are all sorts of wonderful things going on in this picture. It's a very different depiction of Paul's conversion than from our statue. Very different emotions are in this scene. Paul appears to just have been thrown from his horse. He's lying there, struck blind. It looks like his horse is about to step on him. And there's this hired hand who's holding the horse back, and the horse and the hired hand really are looking at Paul. They're not seeing the same thing that Paul is seeing. I think the thing that is most striking about this painting is Paul's posture. His arms are open like this. His body, even though he's laying flat on his back on the ground, his body is relaxed. I think this is the posture of radical acceptance. Paul is embracing the vision of blinding light. He's not squinting. He's not squirming away. Paul is embracing the light, even though that light is really painful. That light is not just blinding him. It's calling him to change his whole life. Leave behind everything that is true about himself and leave behind his old ways and to bring everything he's ever done wrong into the light. I don't know about you, but I don't know that I have that much practice embracing change. When someone challenges me to change and to do something hard, like to tell the truth about my limitations, I don't know how to do that, but I do know that God changes us. And whenever we encounter God, we are changed, just like Paul. And so when we encounter God, we can do that through prayer. Prayer is this invitation to be with the God of change, to be with the one who wants to transform us. And there's a kind of prayer called body prayer. It involves gestures as you pray, as you think the words or say words out loud, various gestures. There's all kinds of ways that you can practice body prayer. But one body prayer would be to imitate what Paul is doing in this picture, to throw open your arms like Paul and to say, "Yes, Lord, I will let you see me. I will embrace the blinding light that you are shining on me." The invitation for us is to simply notice when we're being resistant to being seen, when we hurt someone, when we doubt, when we criticize, and even when we get just simply caught up in being our quirky personalities and we forget how we affect other people. So notice the next time that you resist being honest with yourself. Pay attention to what you are hiding, to what you believe is maybe not a problem in your life that God shines a light on and makes you see. When that happens, hold your arms open like Paul and say to God, "I will embrace your light because in him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. To him all hearts are open, all desires known, no secrets are hid. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. Shine in all the places that need to be seen. Shine on me when I am my best self and when I am my worst self. So come, Lord Jesus. Come and illuminate all our darknesses." Amen.